right, 2:30, let's get started. Let's have a word of prayer. And before we do, let me say we're certainly honored to have you here in Lancaster at the Spiritual Leadership Conference. I hope you've enjoyed it. We've heard some great preaching, haven't we? And I'm looking forward to hearing Brother Skelly tonight. He's one of my favorite, I think one of the great expository preachers of our generation, and I'm greatly looking forward to hearing him. And I have bias towards him. In fact, my son's interned with him the last two summers, and I know it'll be a blessing. And I hope the workshops have been a blessing and a help. Our goal is twofold. It's encouragement and edification. And the Bible says we're supposed to edify one another. The Bible says iron sharpens iron, even so a man the countenance of his friend. And I know in my case, I've already got names of books that I've gotten from people that are here and people I've talked to and given me tips and things like that. And I hope that this is an idea procuring place for you. And I hope it'll be a help and a blessing. Let's pray before we start today. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless down these next 50 minutes or so. I pray, Lord, that what is said and done will please you and honor you. I thank you, Lord, that we have a book of eternal wisdom and knowledge that we can draw from. And Lord, I pray as we look at some principles that we ought to try to inculcate in our life, that we'll be serious about the responsibility that is ours in mentoring the lives of those who are under us. Lord, we have a brief window of opportunity to impact lives of people, whether they're our own children or those that you've entrusted to our watch care. And I pray that we will do it in such a way, Lord, that you will be pleased with what we do. I pray that we will seek wisdom. We know that wisdom is the principal thing. We are to get wisdom with all our getting and understanding. And I pray that even today, as we look at your word and some principles here, that will be a help and a blessing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll start this afternoon by saying this. Although I no longer have a teenager in my home, my youngest is now 22 years of age, and we have happily an empty nest, right? But you're never done. I talk to all my kids, each of my three kids every week. And I'm going to tell you flat out, my kids aren't perfect. Anybody else here have kids that aren't perfect? All right? But they are serving the Lord, and I'm thankful for that. I'm going to say this, I don't know all the answers. And when I first got teenagers, my wife and I pray for our children by name every night together before we go to sleep. And oftentimes she'll go to bed earlier than I do. We try to get together and stop and pray. We hold hands and pray. Man, that helps you. That way she can't hit you for whatever she's mad at you for. But we pray for our kids. I'll never forget when our kids first got to be 13, 14, 15. My wife said this. She said, Lord, would you please help us with this? She said, we've never done this before. Mm-hmm. And I sat there. I'm laying there on my back holding her hand. I'm going, that is an incredibly profound thought. Some of you know my brother-in-law and sister-in-law. It's Dr. Toby and Rita Weaver. And it's amazing, Brother Finley, when they were rearing their boys, who are probably 10 years older than my kids, I was thinking of all the things they were doing wrong. You know, I knew all the answers. Of course, I had no kids, you know. But when you get your own kids, you know, all of a sudden it's different. And it is, you know, my oldest is 32 years of age. As they get older, you still pray for them. You still care for them. You try to invest in them. But right now, some of you, it's teenagers in your home. Many of you, it's teenagers in your school. Maybe your Sunday school class. Maybe it's your youth group. And God has put us in the lives of people. Dr. Getch and I wrote a book 10 or 12 years ago. The title is mine, Mentoring and Modeling. Because we want to mentor, we want to teach, but we also want to model. And when we wrote that book, it's available at the bookstore. He wrote half of it, I wrote half of it. I said, that's really what we're here for, is to do mentoring and modeling. We are to train up the next generation. There is a generation that's walking after us. You know, it was sobering, but, you know, what we heard the other night, what Brother Ouellette said, you know, I'm a lot closer to the end. I'm 58 than I am to the beginning. I started full-time ministry when I was 21 years of age teaching in Bible college. Man, I'll tell you what, all of a sudden I'm going, the time's gone by. It truly is like a vapor. So how can we impact the lives of those that God has entrusted to our watch care? And I want you to catch that. How do we impact the lives of those that God has entrusted to our watch care? When someone gives me something and I'm supposed to take care of it, man, I want to be pretty careful with that. They say, boy, take care of this. Take this over here. Take this over there. If you're teaching a Sunday school class, you're in a school class, you're a youth pastor, obviously if you're a parent, God's saying, take care of this. And the Bible says it succinctly. It says, train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. After these 36 years in full-time ministry, I am as assured of ever that there really are only four kinds of people. And we find these four kinds of people in Proverbs chapter number 1. And God tells us really what to do. Now, our goal is to draw people into the venue of what we call wise people. Can I say this, friends? Can I challenge you to pray for wisdom every day? Can I challenge you? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. Ask for it. I'll just say this as a little prequel. There's only four ways to get wisdom. The number one way is to ask God for it. The second way is God's word. The entrance of thy words giveth light. The third way is be around wise people. By the way, I commend you. Come to a conference. I picked out things. I've already told my assistant, get me the notes for that. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. And the fourth way is the reproofs of life. It's not really the way I want to get wisdom. But those are the four ways to get wisdom. So we hope to use all those ways in impacting the lives of those that are in our watch care. I tell people all the time who send their kids here, and I've got a number of preacher friends who have daughters here this year as freshmen. Jim Alter, Sydney, Ohio. I had part of his ordination. Helped ordain him. I taught him in college years ago. Brother Skelly, his only girl is coming as a freshman this year. Brother Miller down in Hattiesburg, his oldest daughter is coming this year. And I've told all these guys, there's even at West Coast, which I believe is a phenomenal place at this time in history, there's some people you don't want to hang around. Now, not many, but it's sort of like this. Dr. Getch and I have talked about it. You go to a camp, it's like we call it rebel radar. The worst kids from each group find each other. It's just like, they know. They're usually going to sit in the back. They're usually going to slouch down. And they're just like, whoa, these are my people. By the way, would you like to know my only rule I had for my son in college? My one rule for him? I made him sit in the front three sections of chapel. I said, you can sit by anybody you want, anywhere you want. But you have to sit in the front three. I want him near the pulpit. That was my rule for him. Enough said. Look at Proverbs 1. If you have your Bible, and I'm going to use this as a kind of a kicking off point, and then we're going to talk about things in our life that we have to do. But I want to point this out, first of all, in Proverbs 1. The Bible says this in Proverbs 1, verse number 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Now, stop right there. Can I give you a challenging thought someday? Go through the book of Proverbs and circle every time the word wisdom is mentioned. Secondly, knowledge and understanding. It's an exercise I perform. This is God's wisdom book. I would encourage you to read this book every day, the book of Proverbs. I'm talking a chapter a day. Will we not in 10 years be a wiser person if we've read through Proverbs once a month for a year, for 10 years? Nearness is likeness, ladies and gentlemen. Think about things that are true, just, lovely, of good report. Think on these things. My wife and I do a lot of couples retreats. We've probably done 80 or 90. I think 10 years in a row we've done 5. I think only have 4 next year. We do a lot. Some churches, one church I went back to 9 years in a row. He said, keep up, man, I'll tell you what, Brother Finley, that was a lot of work. You got to use different jokes. You got to have different messages. And you're speaking like 5 times. My wife's speaking twice. And she finally said, do we really want to go back again? But you know what I found? When I read good books on marriage, every time, I've been married 33 years. They still help me. I'm carrying books on the road right now. I've got books on marriage there. Now, I'm not quite as interested in child rearing. Now I'm just sending those to my children. I did read Carrie Schmidt's book, by the way, Passion and Parenting. And if you have kids in your home, I beg of you to read it. Pastor has me teach the young parents for 3 Wednesday nights every year. And he takes them out, usually 100, 150 of them, and people with kids. And I go in this building downstairs, in one of the big rooms, and I read that book. I totally redid my notes. I called Carrie. I've known him since he was 18 years old. I said, I wish I would have read that 20 years ago. By the way, if you haven't already read it and you didn't write down the book right then, that's a thought. If I think it's that great a book, and I read about 100 books a year, it's a great, other than Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp, maybe the greatest book I've ever read rearing children. And I've read dozens of them. So there's two books for you. All right, going back to Proverbs chapter 1. It says in verse number 4, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. By the way, it's gender nonspecific. It's women or men or women there. A wise man, verse 5, will hear, will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Let's stop and say this. If we're going to mentor people, we have to get them to not just listen, not just to hear, but also to listen. There's a difference. They hear when they're aware that sound is being made. They listen when they're putting meaning to that sound. What does this have for me? What am I to do with this? We have to teach them to listen. Listen now. It's important. Not you, them. Get their eyes. Get their eyes. By the way, they will never be excited about things that we're not excited about. It is very rare that they will think something is more important than their parents think is important. You say, boy, you must have had a lot of rules for kids. Really, I've got kind of three simple rules. Have a genuine heart for God, be soul conscious, and learn if you don't have it, don't spend it. Pretty simple. If you have a genuine heart for God, you're not going to read the wrong stuff, watch the wrong stuff, be involved in the wrong stuff. Be soul conscious. That's what we're here for. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And I praise the Lord. I've been able, with each of my kids, to lead some Lord who attends Lancaster Baptist Church. By the way, some things are better caught than taught. Take them with you. Say they don't want to come. Buy them a milkshake. They'll go. Or if they like coffee or whatever, make it attractive. It's amazing. All right. Skip down. Verse 5 again, a wise man will hear, will increase learning, a man of understanding shall attain a wise counsel. Down to verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Some people don't want to hear it. I understand that. There's four people in this picture. There's a wise man, a simple man, a foolish man, and a scorner. By the way, it's only the scorner that God says to cast out. Cast out the scorner so the simple will be made wise. You got a scorner, they need to go. That's God's word. It's not my word. We don't want to put up with scorners, right? By the way, I'm going to try to win them over first. But if they keep scorning, you got a problem there, all right? So fools despise wisdom and instruction. If they're not listening, I would share with them, man, if you're not going to learn, a wise man will hear will increase learning, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. What are you doing here? I've told you three times you're not learning. You need to listen. Do you want to be a fool? That's a bad thing. Don't call them a fool. But say, do you want to be like a fool? I know you don't want that, do you? Don't you want to be a wise person? Skip down, way down here, if you will, to verse number 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? Ladies and gentlemen, it ought to be our goal to help people take the next step up the ladder. Education, preaching and teaching, is not getting up in an ivory tower and saying, I am up here, you are down there, you are simpletons. I am the fount of wisdom. No, it's our going down to them, taking them on a path that we have already traveled. 34 years ago, I grew up about 70 miles away from here where my dad pastored for 50 years. My wife came out to visit for the first time. It was Christmas time. I remember taking her to all the places I was familiar with. I took her to some people in the church that I loved, that loved me. I wanted to get to know them. There are things I was familiar with. I took her to Disneyland. I took her to Knott's Berry Farm. I took her to some parks. I took her to the Pacific Ocean, not to go swimming, just a place I used to like to go. I used to work 6 to 2, and I'd go down there, take a book, a quilt, and watch the sunset over the Pacific. And I had a little place, just a little total privacy. I'd go down there just wearing jeans and a T-shirt and watch the sunset. Just kind of a great place to be and read. Back then, I'd read James A. Michener, historical novels. I've upgraded a little bit since then. But I used to like to do that. Back then. I wanted my wife to share that spot with me. By the way, do you want them to share with you chapters that blessed you? Do you want to share with them what it's like to see someone be reached for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want to share with them what some hymn means to you? What God spoke to you about? The Bible says there, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? We want to take them beyond that. We don't want them to stay there. And the Bible says that the scorners delight their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. And that's such an incredible statement. God allows the fools to stay there, but it says fools hate knowledge. And of course, when we talk about knowledge, it's not just doing well on Jeopardy. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the Word of God says. Then if we go on a little further, go down to the very end of the chapter, it says this in verse 32, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But this is beautiful, and this, of course, is the personification of wisdom speaking here in chapter 1. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. The word hearken there could be defined very simply as listen. Will you listen? I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to our students, those that we're mentoring. So this afternoon, what I want to share with you are some things I think will help you as a ministry leader in mentoring teens. How many of you teach a teenage Sunday school class or work with a youth group? All right. How many of you have teenagers in your home? Would you raise your hand? Maybe we can get together with you guys for the group hug in the corner. No, just kidding. All right, just kidding. All right. I've used that one for a long time. I'll never forget, my son was about 15, and I had two girls who were very compliant. They were much like their mother, and then God, in his humor, gave me a son. It's hard to tell your son, be like your mom. You know, it's hard to say that. And here I was, been in ministry about 30 years, haven't earned doctorate. I'm arguing with a 15-year-old. I'm going, what's wrong with this picture? You know, what's wrong with this? But God has to teach us patience sometimes. Roman numeral number one, characteristics of a ministry leader. Characteristics of a ministry leader. There are certain things that you see time and time again in those people who are successful in what they're doing. By the way, you want to learn from people who are successful. If I had a son who was playing basketball right now, I would try to teach him a crossover dribble. I would tell him the importance of shooting. You love basketball, Brother Finley. Steph Curry made 40 more three-pointers than anyone has ever made in NBA playoff seasons. Unbelievable. The record was 43. He made like 83. Amazing. He's 6'2". I'd say, hello. I know there's a little bit of genetics involved there. But I'm telling you, shooting can be practiced. Crossover can be practiced. We're watching before a game, dribbling two balls between his legs. It's an amazing thing. He recently made 73 three-pointers in a row before a game. 73 three-pointers in a row. Muscle memory, practice, work, and on it goes. There's a model, all right? Characteristics of ministry leader, letter A spirit-filled walk. A spirit-filled walk. Ladies and gentlemen, do people see the Holy Spirit guiding us and directing us? He indwells us and was given to direct us in all things. By the way, are we fleshly or are we spirit-filled? Can I tell you guys, I have to pray for patience every day. I'm a type A-driven person. I don't like to wait. I don't like to be argued with. I have a great piano player in my tour group this year. He graduated. I've already said we need to hire him. He's tremendous. I asked a pastor, wanted a senior from the East Coast of the ribbon cutting yesterday. So I said, here's the guy. I told him to be there. He answered, he said, was this on my schedule? And I'm going, I have to explain to you, you know, that pastor wants to be part of a ribbon cutting. You know, I literally read you what he said. So hopefully no one here knows who he is, but if he does, you can tell him I talked about him. But I'm going to tell you my end comment on him. And by the way, great kid. I said, pastor wants to use someone at ribbon cutting. Get a sharp young man for the Eastern States. So I gave the name. And so I got a question. When is that ceremony? Is it on my schedule? May I ask why as well? My answer was, you keep asking questions instead of saying, yes, sir, I will find a sharp young man. He said, I'll find him. Now, I spent a lot of time. I'm writing Sunday school lessons as I travel, and he's probably worked with me 70 or 80 hours while I've driven this summer. I've written 12 lessons in the life of the Apostle Peter, and he's the one with the olive tree looking at verses for me. I've already paid him several hundred dollars for the time he's given me instead of sleeping and wasting his time in the van. My patience was at an edge. Sometimes we don't have time to explain why. By the way, Brother Finley, that's why when I have a crisis thing like a pastor's house with 100 people there, I always want my wife there because she doesn't question anything I say. Wouldn't it be great if we could teach some teenagers that right now? By the way, that was a teaching moment for a young man there. It was a teaching moment. I put a smiley face on there, by the way. I still know Proverbs 16:21, the sweetness of the lips increases learning. Okay, I know the verse. A spirit-filled walk. He indwells us. He wants to lead us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8, we know that. A spirit-filled walk. Secondly, a spirit-controlled temperament. Ah, a spirit-controlled temperament. I had a preacher tell me, and this kind of got me in trouble with him because he was older than me. He said, I can't help it. I'm just Chief Blowtop. I'll share with you what Proverbs says. Don't go with an angry man. That's Bible. A man who can't control his own spirit is like a city that's broken down without walls. That's Bible. Are we long-suffering? Are we slow to wrath? Are we gentle? Are we kind? Brother Gibbs touched on that this morning. Spirit-controlled temperament. I don't agree with everything Lehi has written, but the Spirit-controlled temperament book is worth a read. especially if you have issues in this area. Ask God to help you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. So I'm just that way, I just lose my temper. Ask God to forgive you and ask God to help you. They ought to see, I always say this, I don't think the disciples ever asked each other, what kind of mood is the master in today? I don't think that happened. Next, an understanding of the mission. Why are we there? We are there to train up the next generation. We are there to edify. Could someone raise your hand and tell me, what does the word edify mean? Build. Build up. That's exactly right. Did you build anybody up today? I tried to build up somebody in the church today, and I found out he's going through a difficulty. I know his boss. His boss is a Christian who's got a very tender heart. And I found out this guy has to go to court. I found out that he put the lawyer on his credit card for $3,500. How many of you that would discourage you? That discouraged me. I called his boss. His boss doesn't go here. I know his boss. I said, you really ought to try to encourage this guy. He encouraged him. He said he'd pay the $3,500. You know what? I want to find a way to build up and edify. You know the two people involved, Jesse. How can we help? How can we help? Who did you encourage today? I'm going to say this, folks, a kind word, a short note. What if we tried to encourage, there's a great man who's in heaven now, his name is Zig Ziglar, he was Southern Baptist, wrote a lot of good books. He was largely in the sales business. You know what he tried to do? He said, every day I'm going to encourage five people. He had little post-it notes made that says, I like you because, and he just filled in the rest and signed it Zig. By the way, if it's good enough to do that for sales, how much better to do it for ministry? What if we had a teenage youth group? I'm a big believer in postcards. I write several thousand a year. I'm a believer in them. You say, why postcards? They're cheaper, they don't take as long to write, but they show personal things. Form letters aren't worth. Dear Sunday school member, gag. Would you like to know, I'm 58 years old. I'm 5 years older than Pastor Chapel. I've worked for him for 18 years. It's been the best place I've ever worked in my life, with a bullet. You know what I do with handwritten notes for him? I keep them. I think my kids might want to see that someday. Just saying. What if you started right now with your class and said, I'm going to pray for them. Maybe you just got a 4x6 card, wrote down their name, wrote down four or five things you're going to pray for, and every day you prayed for them, just put the date on there. And when Christmas comes 6 months from now, say, I want you to know I've been praying for you. By the way, here's a card with the days I prayed for you the last 6 months. I think that might impact somebody. They might think you really care. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we have time for that which is important to us. You say, well, good night, I got 20 kids. I'll write all 800 students to college this summer. I've already written my whole Sunday school class, about 145 people. I've written all the deacons of the church. I've written my family and friends list, which is 5 pages. I've got a list of people I write weekly, some I write biweekly, some I write monthly. We could do that or watch TV. What's going to count more at the Bema? What's going to count more? And I like sports. I got home last night. I saw the highlights of the finals. But I want to think about things that will last a lot more than this year's sports. No one in heaven cared about Andre Iguodala getting MVP of the finals. But if you did something kind for somebody, I think it's a very important thing. Spirit control, temperament, understanding of the mission. Letter D, an understanding of the pastor's heart. What does he want you to do? You say, I don't know. Ask him. Ask him. What does he want you to do? How can you help? What's going to be the situation where, what does he want you to do with the youth group? I ask a lot of questions. I say, Pastor, what do you want me to do there? You say, well, you're the vice president of college. He's the president of the college. He's the pastor. He's the under-shepherd. I'm going to ask him. By the way, never hesitate to ask. You don't want to ask hard questions right before he gets up to preach. But a text, it's amazing what a little text can do. Find out the pastor's heart. By the way, there's a Bible principle there. The Bible says, whose faith follow? I often think about the verses dealing with Solomon. It says, happy are these thy men. They were around wisdom. They were happy to be there. I've quoted that verse to pastors several times. Can people tell that we're happy to be around the pastor? When was the last time they saw you come forward to the altar? By the way, whose faith follow? Man, our teens never go to the altar. How often do their leaders? How often do their Sunday school teachers? When was the last time, I love that song, Ron sang, bow the knee. When was the last time they saw us? Bow the knee. Amen. And go to the altar. When was the last time they saw us cry about something? My son often prays this. We prayed his family until he graduated. He would say, Lord, help us to be passionate about the things of Christ. Pretty good prayer request. You know, we get so passionate about a sports team or making money or golf or hunting or whatever the hobby is. How passionate are we about the teens? My dad had a youth director way back in the 1960s, before they had a Christian high school. Here's a little challenging thought. He was a full-time butcher at Vaughn's grocery store. He worked 48 hours a week as a butcher. His peak 4 years, he had 50 people in Bible college from public schools. Think about that for a little while. 50. Back in the day, we didn't have all the Bible colleges back in the 60s. They were going to Bob Jones. They would take a charter bus every year to take all the people back to Bob Jones. Public school kids. Although my dad was a pastor, it wasn't a pastor. It was a youth pastor who had a passion. Can I ask you a question? Who's in Bible college because of you? Who go on to serve God? Who of you said, I can see you serving the Lord someday? I signed a girl for college today. She's going to change her dress before she comes here. I said, she's from Hawaii. Her job is she captains a boat that takes scuba divers out. I said, I'm guessing probably pretty much you wear shorts and tank tops, huh? She goes, yeah, that's 90% of my wardrobe. I said, well, that'll be 0% of your wardrobe here. I didn't even know she existed 4 days ago. She agreed to come get 1 year of Bible training. I never heard her name, Shyla. Never heard of her. Didn't know she was staying in my house till 4 days ago to a preacher canceled. I said, I got an empty bedroom. We'll take two more people. But we fed them breakfast every day. We've taken time with them. We've answered questions. She's coming to college. She's coming. Who's going to Bible college because of you? You see, they come to Bible college, you're going to hear amazing preaching like this, like 13 times a week. And when there's a spiritual fire going on, it warms up everyone around it. But usually it's going to be up to you if you can get them to take that first step of faith. And I've always said it, God didn't open up the Jordan River until they took that step into the water. Can you help take that first step of faith? Without faith, it is impossible, impossible to please God. One little anecdotal thought there, what do they see us doing by faith? Do they see faith in our life? That'd be a great thing. I must hasten. Moving on. Patience with people. We've talked about that already. Slow to wrath and long suffering. Be patient. Can I tell you this? If you teach seventh graders, I'm sorry. I don't think I could do it. I did it 1 year. I taught ninth and tenth grade boys Sunday school for a decade, but I've taught basically adult classes since I've been an adult in Sunday school. I teach the auditorium Sunday school class here. They're easy to be patient with. I have issues. I had four people in my Sunday school class this year diagnosed with Alzheimer or dementia. That's not easy. I had five die last year. I preached four funerals last year. That's tough. But seventh graders, man, they could drive you nuts. Unbelievable. But can I say this? Be long-suffering. Bob Jones Sr. said it well. He said, they will be someday what they are now becoming. What are we helping them to become? Boy, I think about that with my own kids. Man, I still send them books to read. I say, you got to read this book. I text verses to them. Because I want them to keep growing. Keep growing. My son texted me yesterday from Pittsburgh. He said, what do you think about Donald Trump? And I said, I told him some things I thought about Donald Trump. And I'm glad he asked me. By the way, the questioning mind is critical. Right? You ask questions, you learn. Do they feel they could ask you questions, especially about things of God? Number two, cautions for a ministry leader. cautions for ministry leader. First of all, maintain a team player mentality. You want to work with other people. If you can be working with the pastor, with the deacons, with the parents, your chances of success are greatly helped. Teamwork makes the dream work. It's not winning them to yourself. People send someone to West Coast Baptist College, I'm going to tell you right now, they belong to their parents and their pastor's kids. We don't make them join the church here. It's up to the pastor. It's his call. I'm big on that. I got three kids. I understand that. They're my kids. Right. Have teamwork. By the way, you're not going to have much teamwork if you're never in their homes. You're going to find out what the home's like. Find out what their birthday is. Find out what their hobbies are. That way you can write little notes. You saw an article. Photocopy it. Hey, I know you're interested. Here's an article that deals with that. I'm not a hunter. That has zero appeal to me. If you're a great hunter, awesome. Right? My idea of a great time is reading. So our vacation, we go to Palm Desert. We have a light breakfast. I do the elliptical for an hour. I take a shower. I have my devotions for a good period of time. Then a little later, we'll have salad. Then we go to thrift stores. I look for books. My wife looks for clothes. Then we have a good meal. We read for a while. Then I exercise for an hour. We take a shower and go to bed. That's a great vacation to me. I don't golf. I don't play tennis. I do 2 hours of the elliptical instead of one because we're eating good meals for dinner. I promise you. And we enjoy it. Some people love golf, right? I've got articles on golf. I've got an article on a guy at his first hunting experience. It's hilarious. I'm not a hunter, but I find someone who likes hunting. I say, here's a great article I read on that. It's probably 15 years old already. But you got to find out what they're interested in. You got to find out what's it. Skateboarding. You could probably guess, I'm not a skater. I'm not big on body cast, okay? That's not of interest to me. But some things, well, I like baseball, basketball, and football. Some guys, it's other things entirely. I better find out what they're interested in so I can connect with them. Can I say, I'll throw a book out to you. If you haven't read How to Win Friends and Influence People, you are remiss. Lee Robertson told me it was one of the three most important books he read in his life. My dad told me one of the five most important books of his life, and Dr. Hiles told me one of the 10 most important books of his life. It's 70 years old. Dale Carnegie is the author, How to Win Friends and Influence People. You're asking them questions about themselves. They can do 90% of the talking. They're going to say, boy, he was a great conversationalist because they like talking about themselves. But when they talk about themselves, you find out things and areas where you can help them, where you can invest in their life. Letter B, be patient with the leader's decisions and schedule. Be patient with the leader's decision and schedule. Brother Jones is the back. He's my assistant, and he's running the PowerPoint for me, and he knows my schedule's never the same. We could try really hard to have a schedule, but it's amazing. Pastor, hey, come, go. I want you to go to the hospital with me. I want to talk about something. We're going to go do this or go do that. He's the boss. There might be an emergency come up. There might be a tragedy come up. Maybe someone in my Sunday school class needs me. I flew into town Friday, landed at 12, took us 4 hours to get up. It was worst or the second worst traffic I've ever seen coming from LAX. Stopped at In-N-Out. It's a health food store on the way up. And had a double-double and a water. It was wonderful. And got here on the property about 4:30, landed at 12, and a guy in my group didn't have his car, so I took him to Enterprise. It took an hour and a half to get his car. Literally, by then, it's 6 o'clock. So I took him to dinner. I'm heading home. I still haven't been to my house yet. So then I'm heading back to my house, and I stopped to see a widower who's 84 years old in my Sunday school class to give a CD my kids made. I'm in my house. My wife calls me. She said, so-and-so is in ICU. And I literally said, Brother Finley, this is horrible. But we got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, I think I can see him tomorrow. Here's my wife. You had a nap on the plane. <You know? laughs> She did not say it in that tone, I can promise you. If you know Susan, she did. You're right. So I left my subdivision, which I live 2 doors from Pastor, drove back across town to the hospital. He wasn't in ICU. He was in the ER. He wasn't in the normal ER. He's in another building. You know, of course, I'm rejoicing at each spot that's the wrong spot. When I walked in, his wife was there with him. They said, man, I'm so glad you came. Went back and saw him the next day, too. Can I say this? That wasn't on my schedule 1 hour before that. And that's a microcosm of what a pastor deals with. And I do understand that, being close to Pastor Chapp and growing up in a pastor's home. Their schedule is just, that wasn't on the schedule. So be patient with them. Where are they? They can't tell you all the time. Be patient. Moving on here. Avoid having favorites in the youth group. This is really big. We like the kids who know all the answers. They make us think we're good teachers. We're not. They already knew the answers. We like the good athletes. It's a natural thing. It's fine to cheer for the guy who's scoring 25 points a game. I understand all that. Would you like to know what the Bible says? Don't be a what? You got it, sir. Respecter of persons. Don't be a respecter of persons. Probably one of the greatest graces I've seen in Terry Chappell's life. Maybe because she grew up in the home of a drunkard, unsafe family. She treats all the ladies the same. I promise you, I've been here 18 years. Don't be a respecter of persons. Love them all. Love them all. Now, I could tell you stories, but I don't have time. All right, next, letter D. Avoid becoming a one-issue person. Avoid becoming a one-issue person. When you teach and preach, the Bible has a principle. It says teach the whole counsel of God. People have their favorite, what I call hobby horses. They become, to use a little more collegiate word, they become tangential. They're always off on their one thing. For some people, it's a King James Version. Some people, it's abortion. By the way, I'm for the King James, I'm against abortion. But if you're talking the King James Bible in your Sunday school class like 40 weeks in a row, it's not good. They probably already know what you use. Hello, Captain Obvious? Don't become a one-issue person. I think you understand where I'm coming from. Avoid giving a controversial or a scornful person a platform. There's some people you don't want them doing a lot of talking, and you have to know how to control. The Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ that he spoke as one having what? Authority. That's correct. He spoke as one having authority. Somebody's got to be in charge. Again, after 36 years of teaching, I'll tell you this. When I'm there, I want to be prepared, I want to have material, and I'm going to be in charge. And they're not going to talk. Now, Sunday school, they don't have to be there. College, they're paying to be there. I speak at youth conferences, couples retreats. Some of those people, they're carnal. They're just there to get away for 2 days. I better be interesting. I better be passionate. I better be funny. I better have something that'll help them. Or we're wasting everybody's time. The church spends a lot of money to fly my wife and I there, put us up in a hotel, give us a love offering. It's incumbent upon me that I better have something that'll help people. That's serious business to me. I mean, I'll have PowerPoints, I'll have humor. I mean, it's serious business. By the way, though, if I'm prepared and they're not listening, though, it's all a waste. I've got to get their attention. That's why you want to have some humor. That's why you want to move around. Now, I'm tethered today because we're recording this for podcasts. But, man, I want to move around. I want to be looking for eyes. Okay, I might go, okay, by the way, I teach 50-minute classes. I almost always stand up, and for 30 minutes, everybody stand up and stretch. So why do you do that? Just kind of wake them up a little bit. I often ask for blessings then. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who's got a blessing to share? Special prayer request. I'm not going to spend 15 minutes on that. They're paying for it at class. By the way, I believe in finishing a textbook. Every one of our classes at West Coast has a textbook. I think it's somewhat positive for college. It's not camp. It's not youth conference. Right? But I do think it's good to talk about what God's speaking to you about. It might be a two-minute devotional thought. That'd be very helpful. If it's a Sunday school class, still, it might be. You might switch the other way and give something about current events. Take a little break from what you're doing. Moving on here. Number three, the consistency of a ministry leader. Consistency of a ministry leader. Shakespeare said this. He said, consistency, thou art a jewel. Are you consistent? By the way, can I say this, folks? Be on time. Yeah. Be prepared. Be neat. Be ready to go. And be excited about it. I love my Sunday school class. Frank Batiste is my good friend here, really one of my closest friends in the church. Really, I have two very close friends who are lame. They're both in my class, Frank and another guy named Ruby Roach. So those two couples helped me in my class tremendously. Frank is NASA's chief test pilot. He's got brains about stuff I have no clue about. But you know what? He knows he's my friend. He knows what I think about him. I drop him a card now and then. I'll text him about something then and then, maybe send a picture. I saw something about the dude, was it 787, whatever that plane is, at the Paris Air Show, take it off like almost like this. I said, that's amazing. You know what I thought of right away? I'm going to share that with Frank. Had you already seen it, Frank? Well, yeah. Oh, really? So I was the first one to send it to him. Praise the Lord. But I saw that. I said, Frank's going to be interested in that. That's what I'm talking about. We went through the U.S. Air Force Academy, and I saw something. Frank collects coins. I saw a coin with for the U.S. Air Force Academy. I got that for Frank. He's been he and his wife are, man, they hold up our arms like Aaron and her. We couldn't do our class without him. Can I ask you a question? Have you thought of doing anything for anyone who's in your class while you've been here? Those postcards for like a dime downstairs. I'll go so far as to say, if you buy a postcard to write on, I'll buy the stamp for it. I'll pay three times as much. If you're writing, just bring it by my office. I'll get a mail for you. My assistant's here. They'll go out in the mail the next day. You got a label. You got to put the address on it. What if they got to say, hey, I was in California. I was thinking about you, and I prayed for you. Amen. Frank's on two lists for me. He's on my family and friends list, and he's on my Sunday school list. So he's gotten two cards for me so far this summer. Because he's one of my close friends, so that's a list I have. My brothers, my sister, my dad, etc. My favorite college teacher. I write him every month. Just sent him a gift card yesterday. Thine own friends and thy father's friends forsake not. Proverbs 27, verse number 10. Thine own friends and thy father's friends forsake not. Do we just forget about them? Out of sight, out of mind. Ask yourself, Lord, who do you want me to encourage? Who should I be thinking about? Who should I be a blessing to? I believe that's something God would have us to do. My college teacher is 80 years old. I don't know if I'll see him this side of heaven. I sent him a book and a $25 gift card to Cracker Barrel this week. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. I've got a friend in New York City who's here at a conference, and I've got some kids on the 4th of July. They're going to go see a musical or something. I'm not paying $100 to go see a musical, I promise you. I told my wife, I know exactly what I want to do. I want to take that pastor and his wife out for dinner. And we'll go to Outback or something there. He's been a great friend of the ministry. I've got a free slot. I got a couple free hours. Perfect. If it works in a schedule. That's what I want to do. Right. Are you thinking about who you should help? I told the pastor today, graduated from this college. I went to his wedding. He's got a grandfather who recently sold his business for $130 million. That's pretty good. I said, do you call him often? Right? He's Christian. He goes, no, I never do. I said, you're an idiot. I said, how many grandkids do you have? Like seven? I'm thinking, you ought to at least give your grandkids $1 million apiece. And he's a pastor. I said, that's the only counsel I'm giving him. And I love this guy. I've been preached for him. I said, call or write him once a month. You say, what? You say, for money? Maybe. No, that's not the reason. You know why? Because he should. Yeah. My dad's 85. I write him and call him every week. He's my father. I write him and call him every week. We have time for those who are important to us. And if you don't have time for that, for your parents, grandparents, my grandparents are all passed away. We have time for those. How many times have you written your Sunday school class members? We have time for those who are important to us. This isn't a lecture on soul winning. But I'll say this, when I dated my wife, Susan, 34 years ago, this was before texting. We didn't have cell phones back then. I wrote her. I called her. I took her out for meals. I visited her. She visited me, and I bought her gifts. If you really care about people, you'll do the same thing. You're trying to win them to Christ. I believe that with every fiber of my being. Sunday school teachers, how many activities did you have last year? The family activities and field trips have gone the way of the covered wagon for one reason. They're a lot of work. I came to Lancaster. I thought I was a great Sunday school teacher. I had a big fall activity and a big spring activity when I was in Hammond, Indiana. I was like, man, I was the man, head of my house both times. I came here, Pastor Chappell says, I want every Sunday school teacher to have 10 activities a year. 10. 10. Help us, Lord Jesus. Now, I do have the second largest Sunday school class in the church, and I'm gone 110 days a year. So he's kind to me. I only have to have six. By the way, every year I have it in my house three times a year. Cookout. I got a big grill set up. Praise God. I do chicken, tri-tip, and hamburgers. Have the beans, the tea, the coffee. They bring a salad or dessert and pay $5. And it usually covers it. If 80% pay it. Some of those old folks, you know, they kind of pretend they pay. All right, just kidding. Three times a year. Did it last week of April. I'm doing it again in August. I'll do it again in the fall. And we have Christmas. On it goes. Consistency and preparation. Consistency and preparation. I'll just say this. Do they know that you're reading your Bible and praying? Do they know you're doing that? I have 5 minutes, so I've got to move quickly. My wife told me this years ago, and I have my devotions. I'm I'm not a big breakfast eater. Obviously, I do very well the rest of the day. But I would stay in my room because my wife has fixed a hot breakfast for our kids every day of their entire life. Evelyn, just Mark, hot breakfast for them. And I just, you know, not a big breakfast eater. She usually now makes me a smoothie and a glass of water. I have the same thing every day of my life when I'm home. And she said to me one day, my bedroom was upstairs, the house we lived in for 15 years. She said, you know, she says, I know you read your Bible every day, but the kids never see you read your Bible. For the family, I moved downstairs so they could see me in the living room. So they'd see their dad reading the Bible. Why don't you share something each week that God taught you that week? By the way, so I don't know if I can find it. Got to look for it. It'll be a help to them. It'll inspire them. They'll say, man, he's really reading. I was reading this chapter here. I was reading this. I was reading this. I've been so pumped. I've been studying Peter a lot as we've been writing these Sunday school lessons. Man, I told the class, I just can't get over this thought. When they left Christ and went fishing, and John recognized Jesus, he was the beloved, he knew what he looked like. No one else did, but he saw it was Jesus. Do we see Jesus when he's around? Number one, but you know what? Peter, he jumps in the water and swims to him. When we know Jesus is there, are we going to him? And I've been thinking about this. The passage this morning the text was from, you know, I wrote a lesson on that. And the great testimony. 7 verses later, Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. Think about that. Get thee behind me, Satan. He had just said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. 7 verses later, check it out. But he didn't give up on him. He preached at Pentecost. What an awesome thing. Amazing thing. Prayer and Bible reading. Letter B, administrative passion. You must plan your work and work your plan. You write that little thing on the side. Plan your work and work your plan. Plan out what your activities are. Plan out what your lessons are. I'm going to start teaching. I'll vet these lessons I'm writing this summer. I've got 12 of the 13 down. I've got one more to write. But you know what? I told the class before I ever left in May. My last Sunday of teaching was like May the 1st. I said, I'm going to start teaching on Peter when I get back in August. I already had the outlines written out, the titles for the 13 lessons. I hadn't written them yet. But I'm excited about it. By the way, when you're excited about the lesson, there's a good chance that they might be excited about the lesson. I subtitled the lessons, The Education of a Disciple. And I've learned some things about studying Peter. By the way, when you're writing a lesson like that and going over it, that's meditating on the Word of God. It'll help you. Moving on here. Letter C, participation in church ministry. I'll just say this. If you're involved in church, you need to be there at all the services. They need to see you in your place. Great quote by Bobby Robertson, the only quote I have from him. One thing we can all do is be in our place. The one thing we can all do is be in our place. Are you there for soul winning? Are you there in church? And that's said. Letter D, balance and enjoyment of your roles, not rules, balance and enjoyment of your roles, R-O-L-E-S. Sorry for the typo there. Balance and enjoyment of your roles. Enjoy being a spouse. Enjoy being a parent. Enjoy being a teacher. Enjoy all those things. It's helpful. Then letter E, a gratefulness in spirit. God must have known we needed this. We've heard it twice in one day. A gratefulness in spirit. Express gratefulness. Let people know you're grateful. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. I work for a ministry leader. I'll leave him unnamed. He's retired out of ministry now. And I did writing for him many years ago. And he told the story how one day he pulled over to help an elderly lady who had a car crash. And he parked his car, and he's out helping this lady change a tire, and someone hit his car. I know what I think. What in the world? I'm trying to help somebody this happens. He was more spiritual than me. He said, Lord, thank you for letting this happen to me. And he got up and he spoke the next week to a large audience, very large group of people, many thousands. He spoke to them, and he said, you know, it's not my nature. He said, but told what he did. He said, I did ask God. I did tell him, thank you for letting this happen to me. He was given 7 cars that week. Ever since then, I've been looking for old ladies over by the side of the road, you know, so I can pull over and help them. But would our first response be thankfulness? I think it'd be a great thing to do. And then finally, communication. Communication. Communication about where we're at, what we're doing. Can I give you a little statement to write down in the margin? You've listened so well, and I'm so grateful for that. I thank you for that. Please write this down. Elevate accountability, eliminate doubt. Elevate accountability, eliminate doubt. let the pastor know when you're gone. I appreciate people in my Sunday school class who tell me where they're going to be out of town. I don't worry about them. What's going on here? If you're wondering whether or not you should do something, ask. I wonder if this would be a good idea. I saw a young man here who went to our college years ago. He was very fortunate to be alive. He thought it would be a good idea to get a parachute from an Army-Navy surplus and have a guy pull him behind a truck and elevate him up in the air. It almost killed him because somehow it caught the wind wrong and it pulled him at 50 miles an hour right in the ground. But he got so many broken bones. I visited him in the hospital 7 or 8 times. I looked at him. I said, Paul, glad you're alive. Probably should have got some counsel before he did that. Of course, the moron who had the idea was the guy driving the truck. And he wasn't up there getting pulled up in the air. It was fun for a brief moment. Right? Some of our ideas, we say, have you ever said this before? I should have thought that through. Or how about this one? I should have asked about that. I think if we'll do that, that will help us to mentor them. Now, let's go back, if you will, wrap this around. We have 4 kinds of people. We want to have wise people. I'm going to say this, most people are simple. Some people are foolish. They don't have the knowledge of God in their heart. And some people are scorners. And I think that really is the smallest group. We want to bring all of them up into the wise category. How do we do that? I think by doing these things in our lives, by being an example to them, by knowing the way, going the way, and showing the way. You say, well, how do I do that? Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Genesis 24, verse 27. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. So God will lead us. So we have to know the way, go the way, and show the way. One more verse, I'm done. For Ezra had purpose in his heart to know the law of the Lord and to what? Do it. And to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. For Ezra had purpose in his heart to know the law of the Lord. We've got to know it first. Then we need to do it. And then we need to teach it. Ezra chapter 7, verse number 10. A great, great thing for us to work on. If we'll do that, wouldn't it be great? I've had so many people say, man, you made a difference in this, that, or you said this. I had a guy walk up to me who I taught over 20 years ago. And I usually read a different study Bible every year, but that year I was reading the study Bible where it divides it up in Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs for you. And it's a great little Bible, it's hardback. He said to me, I've read that Bible every year since you taught me, over 20 years ago. What a blessing. What will your young people be doing that you're teaching them? What will you invest in them that will reap dividends, not just in their life, but for the cause of Christ and for eternity? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the privilege we have of talking about things that we hope will make a difference in the lives of others. I thank you for these friends here, and I pray you bless them, and I pray that this might be a help to them. Lord, I pray you help me to do a better job as I teach this year in my Sunday school class and in college classes. I pray we will not be content with mediocrity. Well, remember the word of God says in Psalm 16, verse number 3, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. I pray we'll strive for excellence in what we do. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One last thing. If you ever have a question, I'd be glad to try to answer it for you. I'm available at mark.rasmussen@lancasterbaptist.org. Lord bless you. Have a great day.